Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
All right, the punt by Fields, chasing Edelman way back to his six. Heads to the right, out of the left at the 10, turning it wide, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45. He's at midfield, at the 40, the 30, the 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Julian Edelman.
Now, here to break down the game and look ahead to next week, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Well, hey everybody, Happy New Year! Or as Eddie Murphy once said in Trading Places as the train was taking off, a Merry New Year! One of the great movies of all time, by the way. But Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome to the first 2011 edition of the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. And I mean, I got to tell you right off the bat, there is so much to talk about with this Patriot team, possible opponents. I have some great numbers I'm going to break down for you. That I went to, did some research today earlier, and just some interesting numbers regarding the defense. I think you'll be fascinated by some of them. But I must begin the show on a very serious slash religious note, if I may. Now, I'm not a deeply religious person. I do believe in God, raised a Catholic, but that's beside the point. Regardless, I am here to tell all of you today that whether you're agnostic, have no faith, don't believe, want to believe, have that there is truly a God. And this is how I know this, because there are certain things in life that we as a people can overcome, some very, very hard things to overcome, such as Kevin in the other room and the parental units on Christmas not giving him his GPS. You can overcome that.
Me and my Patriot sheets.
And the Patriot satin sheets with matching pillowcases. I mean, these are things we have to overcome. But I am here to tell you today, I know people will listen to the show later on, but right now it's live. It's 4:07 in about 22 seconds. There is a God. And the reason why I know there is a God is because how else can you explain the fact that Marvin Lewis, as of about 4 minutes ago, has been rehired by the Cincinnati Bengals? Now, if that isn't divine inspiration somewhere along the way, then I don't know what is. So I am here to tell you that God is alive and well, and he lives in Cincinnati, because that is the only way possibly I can come up with, the only reason how Marvin Lewis still has a job today. The Bengals, the Bungles, whatever you want to call them. I thought the Raiders might have been the dumbest franchise over the last 10 years, but the Bengals have caught up. And I know this is the day we're going to celebrate a lot of things with the Patriots and all that stuff, and we'll get to all that. But I got to tell you, God is alive and well and living in Cincinnati, because Marvin Lewis just got re-signed by the Bungles to another year of that pathetic coaching on that pathetic franchise. How is that possible? How is that possible? I mean, today they went back and forth. If you're keeping up with Adam Schefter's stuff on ESPN and stuff on NFL.com and NFL Network, I mean, he was going to be hired, then he was not going to be hired, then he was going to be hired and not be hired. Went back and forth all day. And in the end, the Bungles come to the divine conclusion somehow that Marvin Lewis deserves another chance, even though he's gone, I believe, 60-67-1 and had two playoff appearances and lost both games, once to the Jets and once to the Steelers. So there it is, ladies and gentlemen. If anybody out there has a lack of faith, I tell you to light a candle, whatever it is, because God is alive and well. He lives in Cincinnati, and Marvin Lewis is with the Bengals one more year. There you go. How to get that off my chest. I mean, I'm just blown away. So I can only think of divine inspiration as the only reason why it's possible. Somewhere, somehow, you know, God pointed a finger in the great state of Ohio and in Cincinnati, the Queen City, and said, you will hire Marvin Lewis again. The voice of God somehow hit the Bengals owners, and there you have it. Marvin Lewis back for another year with the Bengals, which is good news if the Patriots play them next year, because that's another one on the schedule. Most other teams as well. So that's good. Ah, well, hope everybody had a great and happy New Year. I did. and survived the blizzard, all that stuff. We're going to talk Patriots, obviously. And Scott Zolak, former Patriot quarterback, now you hear him on the Sports Hub 98.5 between 10 and 2, will join me in the 5 o'clock hour. To go
over. I have some good stories. Ah, sh**.
That's Zoe. That is Zoe. But really, did some research in the other room before the show, going over some very interesting numbers, I think. And I'd like to share them with you, if I may. But first off, let me just tell you right now, right off the bat, call me at Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. It is the Pete Shepherd Show with yours truly. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. You can also Facebook me, if that's easier. Post something on my wall. That's fine. I will read as many as I can. Okay? So that's no problem at all. You can do that. Just go to Facebook and post on the wall. Please, no private messages. I will not be able to answer them during the show. I can barely spread my arms to reach the button to click on the Facebook stuff while I'm trying to figure out if the other computer will actually stay on the entire show for the other emails at webradiopatriots.com. So whatever is easiest for you. I want to make the show as easy as I can for you. Tracy, right off the bat in Facebook, says either God resides in Cincinnati or he has forsaken the city. You know, I never thought, you know, Tracy, that's a great point. I never thought about that. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's the opposite. You know? Nah, I won't say it. No, I don't think it's a satanic ritual what the Bengals did in hiring Marvin Lewis again. I think it's divine inspiration. I'm going to look at the glass half full. Not if you're a Cincinnati fan, but I guess that's just the way I think. Anyway, interesting numbers regarding the Patriots. Now, we all know, and again, tried to warn it, I kind of thought they would win fairly easily on Sunday. Not as easily as they did, but the Patriots were awesome as usual. The Dolphins didn't show up, and that was with, you know, as you know, several Patriot players not even playing, such as, you know, Welker and Branch and Hernandez, and they still won by 31 points. So here's the thing. After all is said and done and all, you know, the talk, and by the way, you want to get a laugh, go back and look at some of the predictions that some of these bozos in the media made early on in the season. And I mean bozos. You know, my favorite one is Shaughnessy, who picked him at 8-8 and said, you know, just this is why these people have no clue. You have no clue. If you pick this team to go 8-8, that you're an idiot when it comes to football. That's what it is. And again, when I say idiot, I'm talking strictly football knowledgeable here. Because just the fact that you have Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and a healthy Tom Brady, you're not going to go 8-8. It's that simple. And if people thought that last year's game against Baltimore in the playoffs, we all know how that ended up, was going to transcend and carry over into this year's team, that somehow this team was going to be psychologically damaged, and because the schedule appeared on paper to be so tough, so hard, how were they ever going to do it? And not taking into consideration that over the years, you look at every NFL team, I mean, every season is different. Just because it looks bad on paper in preseason, allegedly bad to some, does not mean that's the way things are going to transpire. But to think that this team with this coach and that quarterback would ever be 8-8 is insane with the talent that was on this team. Even though some of it was unknown at the time, still, they were going to be at worst, 11-5, 10-6, 11-5, at worst. I picked them at 12-4. So, yeah, in a way, they've exceeded my expectations. But as I said, after a round, whatever it was, week 7, I really didn't think they were going to lose another game the rest of the year. And they haven't. And I don't think they will. I don't think they will. And people were crying, woe is me, on the defense, and you know, still the concerns are back and forth. And I mean, some points, I mean, some is justifiable. There's no question about it. Every team has holes. The Patriots certainly still have their holes. But they have a lot smaller holes. What scares me is now is that everybody on ESPN and NFL Network is picking the Patriots to win it. Will Forks on the cover of Sports Illustrated. It's going to come out tomorrow, in case you don't know. And it says, wall of mass obstruction. And Peter King goes into an entire chapter about how no one's going to touch the Patriots and all that stuff. Everybody's jumping on the bandwagon now and following my lead. And I'm not saying I'm way ahead of the curve here or any of that stuff. I just look, I know this team. I've seen it before. The other years, I've seen it before. And I know when something special is happening here, and I've been saying it from basically the entire, you know, from about week seven on, since the Pittsburgh game, really. And I don't know why it's so difficult for people not to understand what was going on here, how this team was gelling, how they were being coached, how the defense was getting better on a weekly basis for the most part. But we'll get into that and a lot more. Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-543-7482. I do have some fascinating numbers after I'm going to break down with you. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Let's head to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Doc in Seattle is up first on the Pete Shepherd Show. Hey, Doc.
Hey, Pete. Love hearing you and finally was able to find the time to call in.
Hey, thanks for checking in.
Love your stuff. Got a couple of quick things before I ask you a purely fan question.
Yep.
First of all, someone beat me to the fact that Marvin Lewis is proof of a Satan rather than a God. But Michael Hawley wants to award Super Bowl rings to the PFW crew because them picking against the Patriots inspired the Patriots. I will say this. If you can ask the guys, and I've bothered them enough times before, whenever they pick a close game, the Patriots seem to win by a lot. When they predict a blowout, it gets close. So if you'd kindly ask them to pick the rest of the game, it's very close. Maybe have Eric pick against them. You know, if he's,
sure,
if he's
no
still
problem. I'll leave a message. I will leave a note. But there's no question that game in Miami early on in the season was definitely bulletin board material. And it was, it's not the reason why they won. They were dominant in that game in all three phases. Special teams, especially if you remember, was incredible in that game. But, I guess I was alone on an island that week, and it's not because I get this incredible reputation. I'm some Patriots homer. I never criticize them, which, again, if you've listened to me over the years, and particularly last year during certain times, they criticize when they deserve to be criticized. But that game this year when they were down in Miami, to me, I've seen it too many times, and I said it back then the week of that show. I told the guys on the Miami Dolphin website, I said, I've seen it too many times where they get – everybody is so against them, jumping on board like they have no chance. I said, and that is when not only do they win, they usually win in a blowout, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be honest. I thought I was optimistic picking at, say, 10-6, maybe hoping for 11-5, and they get into the playoffs. We've covered this before. The defense wasn't going to be good. You know, who is this Devin McCourty? Yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. Speaking as a fan, I'm going to be joining my Pittsburgh fan friend, who I have to tolerate because he got me tickets to the Patriots out here.
Yep.
We're going to go watch the playoffs. So here's the question, Pete, that all fans want to know.
Yes.
Who the heck should I root for and who should he root for? Now, understand, I'm speaking as a fan now. Because, you know, just like the Red Sox don't want to play the Yankees because they don't want to lose to the Yankees. Now, if you guarantee a win, we'll play them. Same here. I am not emotionally prepared to lose to the Jets.
No.
Or to lose to Baltimore. Or can't, or in fact, anyone in the playoffs.
No.
Who should I root for Saturday and Sunday, Pete?
Well, here's the thing. I think you're going to be fine either way. I mean, personally, from a personal level, I would like, from a fan level, from even a professional level, if that's what I am, I don't know what I am. But if you want to just say, I want the Jets to beat Indianapolis, then the reason is, I see it's a win. I look at it this way. If you're a Patriot fan, it's kind of a win-win situation on Saturday and Sunday. Because if the Jets lose to Indianapolis, you laugh at Rex Ryan. You laugh at him anyway, but you're going to laugh hard at Rex Ryan. But if they somehow upset the Colts, and they could, because Indianapolis is not really playing that well and probably should have lost on Sunday. To be honest with you, they really got lucky winning that game, recovering that late turnover against Tennessee. But so if they lose to Indy, you laugh, and it's kind of funny. If they win, they're going to come here. Rex Ryan will open his big fat mouth again and yap and yap and yap. And maybe the Patriots don't win 45-3, but they'll win 37-10 or 27-10 or something like that. And the Jets season will be over no matter what. So
that's being a jackass.
So regardless of what happens with the Jets in that game, that's fine. Now, again, the last week, this is how the media works. It cracks me up because the last couple of weeks, not including yesterday, the Sunday's game when they were demolished by the Raiders, but all of a sudden last week, Kansas City was the trendy pick. Oh, they run the ball. They're going to do that. They could do this to the Patriots. I mean, Matt Cassel and Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel, and they know this Patriot system. And please, The Patriots are so far ahead of Kansas City and most of these other. The Patriots are on a different level right now than a lot of these other teams, a much higher level. Even Pittsburgh, as well as they played. You saw the Patriots went in there and demolished them in Pittsburgh early this year. So, I mean, Kansas City does not scare me. Baltimore does not scare me at all. I mean, I think that'll be a competitive game. I don't think the Patriots win in a blowout, but they could. Certainly one thing, the Patriots get in a shootout with Baltimore, and Baltimore's got no chance. They want to go toe-to-toe with the Patriots offensively. The Patriots will win in a blowout. But they didn't run the ball particularly well against the Patriots, and that was early on in the season where they stopped Rice pretty well in that game. So, I know the Ravens don't scare me. The only team, and I said the last couple of weeks, Doc, is that the only person, if it comes down to the AFC Championship, that I would rather not see, not that I fear, but I would rather not see is Peyton Manning. Because he's the only one that has proven that no matter what his situation is, he can put up decent numbers against the Patriots. He's the only guy. So I don't care who else comes in here at any time, any place. The only one I really don't want to see, if given a choice, is Indianapolis.
I think I kind of agree with that. I have a soft spot for Kansas City just because it's kind of, you know, the mini Patriots.
Well, I agree. You know? If there's a way that they can play the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, I'd love to see that happen, but unfortunately, it can't happen. Well, it actually could happen. Right. If Kansas City wins and the Jets beat Indianapolis, it could happen because Kansas City would go to Pittsburgh, the Patriots would get the Jets, and again, it could happen. But I think Kansas City is going to struggle, even though they're at home against Baltimore. Mm-hmm. I like the Ravens in that game.
Quickly then on that, because my feeling is I think I would prefer the Jets to win just to get rid of Peyton Manning. From a fan standpoint, let's just get him out of here. Because then he doesn't get too – again, you root against the Yankees. They don't win a World Series. We root against Peyton. This is – I will root against New Orleans this weekend. Yeah. Come on, place a bet. But anyway, I think we want the Ravens to go to Pittsburgh and let the two idiots beat the crap out of each other and then clean up whatever's left. I think that's most ideal for the – Yep. The Patriots. I know that's what my Pittsburgh friend is worried about. He's not worried about facing Peyton Manning.
Oh, he should be.
He's crazy. Okay.
Yeah. He should be. I mean, I think the Steelers are a better team right now. I just think any team should be worried about facing Peyton Manning at any time. I know they're banged up and everything, but, you know, he's the second best quarterback in the league after Brady, and you know, he's experienced. He can win on the road, and they can fight. And certainly we know the Steelers' playoff record at home. I mean, they can lose at home. Certainly, the Patriots have destroyed them a couple of times. So, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I think the Steelers would probably win that game if they play. But, and everybody seems to think it's going to be the Patriots here at home, obviously, against the Steelers in the AFC Championship. I think there's a lot of things that can happen. I'm really curious. The game that fascinates me the most out of all the playoff games really is the Kansas City-Baltimore game, because I'm going to be really interested to see how the Chiefs not only rebound. That was a humiliating loss on Sunday to a divisional rival. They just didn't show up, but maybe they just, I'm dying to see how that team responds at home to this Baltimore team. And, you know,
I'll be pushing for them. I'll have my feet up and watching that and hoping that's a good game, because everything they do to Baltimore, whether they win or lose, helps the Patriots. I think if the Patriots can't, folks, if the Patriots can't beat Kansas City at home, you know, if they can't beat the Jets at home, they're not Super Bowl champions. Like, they don't deserve it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's crap. We don't like it, but that's just reality. The same as we had this argument way back when the Jets came back to Foxborough was, you know, if the Patriots are going to go where they're going to go, they need to beat them. Now, funny enough, you know, had the Jets had the same record, the Patriots still would, I think, locked up the first seed, though I don't think the Jets would have had quite the collapse. They didn't have that ass whipping. Have they taken up enough of your time, Pete?
That's all right. But you were out in Seattle last week, so I don't know. Did you go to any Seahawks games when you were out there?
Well, here's the funny thing. I actually go to a coffee shop right nearby there. So I was down there during the Chiefs game and wondered why everybody was leaving the field about an hour later. I did see some, and I saw somebody with a Deion Branch shirt, and I thanked them heartily in my Patriots gear for giving them back. There were very few people thought they were going to win, Seahawks fans. They're very – and – I got to tell you, we got Pete Carroll show here. People listen to Troy Brown imitate Pete Carroll.
Is it funny?
I think it's good that we, you know, I can't do justice to it.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks they're going to beat New Orleans.
Yeah.
I will root for them, but I'll tell you, my Pittsburgh, the reason why my Pittsburgh Steelers friend is a friend is he knew a Seattle season ticket over who didn't want to. I looked at tickets, forget it, 2 years ago when they came out of here. And he gave me two tickets for free. And so I gave the other ticket to a Pats fan who bought my bar tab. So,
yeah.
And it was,
nice.
Got to meet Mosey Tatupo, yada, yada,
yep,
yada.
Yep.
Great game. Seahawks fans were bitter. They gave up a 10-point lead and were really angry. But none of them think they're going. I mean, I would love them to beat New Orleans just because then, as a fan, New Orleans can't repeat.
Yeah.
Ta-da.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I just think, that game last week, I mean, I picked Seattle on the show, but I was rooting for St. Louis. And two
Same
things, and the offensive coordinator for the Rams escapes me right now, but he should be fired. For that, it was a horrible game plan by the Rams in that game. They didn't let Bradford throw the ball down the field at all. And that's number one. Number two, it was, to me, the worst officiated game I've seen all year. It was horrible. And about four horrible calls went against the Rams that might have been, that probably could have made that game a lot closer down the stretch. But that being said, I mean, Seattle's in. I mean, you never know. What can happen in the playoffs. It'll be interesting to see if Whitehurst comes back to play or Hasselbeck plays or what happens. So
I don't think it's going to matter. They're going to try to build it up as if it's significant.
Yeah.
But I'm not that impressed with Hasselbeck. I never have been. Not that I don't like him personally, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
sure.
It's like, we can throw in Thigpen or whatever, Henny. It's not going to matter. I think Drew Brees is a good quarterback. I like Drew Brees because I hate the Chargers and I laugh at the Chargers since they got rid of him.
Yeah.
But I will say one good thing about this result, hopefully, is it might force the league to consider receding. And, I know you've gone through these arguments. You win your division, that's your prize to get in the playoffs. Hooray for you. It may not be fair that, say, Seattle gets in and, some other team doesn't in the AFC or whatever. You got in. That doesn't guarantee you get a home field advantage. And when the owners start crying, they need their home field, to make their money. It's like, dude, you really shouldn't be in the playoffs to begin with. Your season should have been over, and nobody should have been going to your games for the last month. So I think that's a fair thing. Now, oddly enough, I think in the AFC it's worked out. When before, a couple of weeks ago, we Patriots fans were all belly aching that we might have been a wild card, with a 13-2 or 12-4 record going.
I wasn't one of those fans. Yeah. I thought even they were a game or two behind the game behind the Jets. It was just a matter of time. I knew Rex Ryan was over his head. Thanks for the call, Doc. Appreciate it. I still think he's over his head. I don't care how excited he sounds or he thinks he's his master motive or whatever. He's very lucky that the Bears played like crap in that game, and the Bills just didn't even show up on Sunday.
I just wanted to interject one little thing, Pete.
Yeah.
The Rams offensive coordinator's name is Paul Shermer.
Paul Shermer, yes.
And
Paul Shermer,
Adam Schefter tweeted today. This kind of caught my eye. He tweeted that he is the favorite to become the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
Oh,
he was interviewed today.
Good luck.
So that was. I just wanted to pass that along to you.
Good luck. Good luck with that. Anyway, let me get to these some of these Patriot numbers that I think you're going to find fascinating before we take a break here, and then we'll talk about it more. Now, the Patriots, of course, beat Miami. Now, I'm talking about these are some interesting numbers. Now, the last eight games, in case you forgot real quick, here are the scores. Pittsburgh 39-26, all wins, obviously. 31-28, 45-24 Detroit, Jets 45-3, Bears 36-7, San Diego 31-27, Buffalo 34-3, Miami 38-7. Okay, last second half of the season, Patriots scored 299 points, allow 125. That's a plus 174 for New England. They allowed, they scored on an average the second half of the season 37.3 and allowed 15.6 for an average winning margin of 21.7 points a game. Now, you take into account what happened overall, and you see that the Patriots averaged 32.4 points a game for 16 games. That went up. Now, that went up. The second half average brought that up to over five more points a game. And the defense for 16 games, averaged giving up 21.8 points a game. In the second half of the season, though, that's down to 15.6. So you're talking, 6.2, an entire touchdown less per average of defense let up the second half of the season as opposed to the first half. That's coaching. That's improvement. That's the stuff people don't talk about. Now, granted, overall, the third down percentage, completion percentage against the Patriots is last at 47.3%. That's the number that, you know, all the doubters bring up all the time. It's a legitimate number. I understand that. But, again, a lot of those third down conversions came in garbage time when the Patriots were at the game well in hand. Well in hand in a lot of these games. Many of these games. And I mean many of them, like 12 out of the 16, basically. So I don't put a lot of stock into that number. I just don't. One, because it works towards my argument. And two, I mean, it's just a fact. It's a fact. I mean, the fact is they were last in the NFL against third down conversion on defense. Fine. But this great vaunted Jets defense and all that we heard about at the beginning of the season. So when it's all said and done, the Patriots finish eighth in points allowed overall, which is really one of the only few numbers I care about as far as defense goes. They average giving up 19.6 points per game, eighth. Seventh was New Orleans at 19.2, and sixth was the great Jets Bear defense at 19. So the Jets, after all is said and done, gave up 0.6 points less per game than the Patriots. That's the great Rex Ryan defense. Unbelievable. As far as giving up touchdowns, total touchdowns, Patriots against the pass gave up 36 touchdowns, okay? That ties them ninth. Ninth. Guess with who? The Jets. The Jets. Unbelievable. 36 touchdowns tied for ninth. 25 of those were receiving touchdowns, by the way. Not 36, but they gave up 36 touchdowns. The Jets gave up 36 touchdowns, too. Tied for ninth. Rushing touchdowns allowed. Patriots 10, Jets 11. Penalties. Another thing people forget to talk about. Patriots were unbelievable this year. Fourth in the league overall. They had committed just 84 penalties for 687 yards. The Jets were number one. They committed just 74 penalties, but it was 679 yards. So they committed 10 less penalties, but only 8 less fewer yards and penalty yards than the Patriots. So turnovers is no comparison. Patriots are plus 28, number one. The closest was the Steelers in second place at plus 17. So if you look at all these numbers, not to mention the fact that Belichick becomes the only coach in NFL history with 4 14-plus win seasons, 03, 04, 07, and now 2010. You take everything in consideration, and you watch, if you've watched these teams, if you've watched all these teams, and I mean most of them, a lot of you I know have the Red Zone channel, and, you know, you watch enough of the good teams that were on, you know, the 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock game, even if you don't have the Red Zone channel, top teams usually playing at 1, 4, 8 o'clock, and you know, on Monday night. Some pretty good games, all right? So you're seeing some of the better teams play. Just don't you see, can't you just, even if you didn't see records or numbers or stats, if you've just watched the last 6, 7, 8 weeks, the Patriots are on a different level right now, physically, mentally, than the rest of these teams. They just are. I mean, it's not even close. It's not even close. I'm sitting there, I was racking my brain the last couple of days. I said, you know what, I really want to try and make a case for a couple of these teams that could possibly upset the Patriots if it's possible. And again, barring any stupid things happening, like you fumble two kickoffs in the end zone, and, you know, things, you know, wacky things that the Patriots haven't done all year. I'm telling you, there is no way that this team is going to lose in the playoffs. No way. Unless they kill themselves. Unless they beat themselves. That's the only way that's going to happen. And I don't see it happening. I don't see it. And if you want to make the case, the argument, which I don't buy a lot of it because I hate when people say teams peak too early or too late or this, that. I just think you have to win. I mean, you're winning, and I mean, you win to win. You go back to 2007, people are like, well, at the end of the season, they always bring up the Baltimore and the Philadelphia game. And then they always bring up the fact, and I said this the last couple of weeks, because they didn't score a lot of points against Jacksonville and San Diego in the playoffs. You could see the demise. Well, I think you just gotta, every games are different. Playoffs are usually different games. They're usually tighter games. And the way, and I said it before, I'm going to say it again, the way those two playoff games went in 07 was very simple. The Patriots jumped out to a lead, and for the most part, those were Lawrence Maroney's two shining moments. I mean, he basically, but along with the offensive line, dominated Jacksonville and San Diego, particularly the Chargers in the second half. I mean, they controlled that ball. It was some ridiculous amount of time. And I remember it was just about the whole fourth quarter. It was Maroney, Maroney, Maroney. That was the two shining moments in those games. So the Patriots didn't have to put up a lot of points. But if Kansas City or the Jets, I mean, the Jets can't get into a shot. Baltimore with Flacco, maybe the only team that has a potential for the opening playoff game when they play in the second round to have it, you know, to throw the ball through the air a little bit. But they're not going to get in a shootout with the Patriots. You can't, because they will destroy you. They won't beat you. They'll destroy you. And the stuff, you know, and, you know, like I said, Ray back, and again, we're talking about 8-9 weeks ago whenever they played Baltimore. They were down by 10 points. The defense shut Baltimore down for the whole fourth quarter, actually for a lot of the second half, for the whole fourth quarter and overtime. I think it was six straight possessions. Baltimore went 3 and out, I think. Something like that. Something crazy. And that was a while ago. But just now, you take into consideration the entire body of work of where this team is now. And you watch all these other teams. You try to come up with, I mean, who the hell scares anybody? Like I said, the only guy who I think could put up a pretty good fight is maybe Peyton Manning. Maybe. And that's a maybe. I don't see any of these other teams, if the Patriots are playing at the level they are now, even coming close. And you could talk about playoff games being tighter in the past and this, that, and the other thing, and some of that's true sometimes. But I don't see how the Patriots lose to any of these teams, no matter who it is. You with Kansas City, please. And you'll hear all week long, because they have to write story, you know, all of Romeo Crennel and Charlie Weiss and all that stuff, Matt Castle and all the little nice little stories, out, you know, that. If the Jets win, of course, it'll be Rex Ryan opening his fat mouth, and he'll force his team to lose just by the comments he makes. And I hope the Patriots, if they play the Jets, score 90 in that game. They can't score enough points. The Jets aren't going to scare anybody here. And Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore's a nice team. They're a good team. They're a good team. But, and Ed Reed is back. Ed Reed did not play the first time against the Patriots. So he'd be back. So that's obviously a factor. But even them, and I've watched them. I mean, it's just nobody that puts the fear of God, because he's in Cincinnati, in you if you're a Patriot fan. It just doesn't. NFC teams, Michael Vick against Minnesota last Sunday, embarrassing. I mean, embarrassing. So, don't talk to me about Michael Vick. I mean, he may come in second in MVP voting. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Tom Brady. He makes mistakes. And if the Vikings came up with a blueprint of how to stop Michael Vick, I'm not sure they came up with any kind of blueprint to stop Michael Vick. Yeah, they pressured him a lot a couple Sundays ago. And maybe Michael Vick wasn't into it that much because they're playing the Vikings and the game really didn't mean all that much. But you know what? What does that tell you? The game didn't mean a lot to Tom Brady either on Sunday. They killed Miami. So, I mean, if it comes down to the Super Bowl, I mean, we'll worry about that. That's a ways away. But, I mean, you know, even those teams, I mean, come on. The Falcons, New Orleans, Atlanta, they're all nice teams. They are not anywhere near the level, playing at the level that the Patriots are. They simply are not. And you want to take in the games that mean the most, the last eight games of the regular season, and this team has done nothing but destroy, 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 with the exception of the little Matt Flynn game against Green Bay. All right? Really. Indianapolis was down 17 points in the fourth quarter. Yes, they made it close. Yeah, you know, he threw a pick in the end. Sanders made a nice play. Okay, They're still down seven. They're down 17 points in the fourth quarter. And the San Diego game ended up being a four-point game. I'm sorry, that was early on. The Green Bay game ended up being a four-point game. The Matt Flynn game. Everybody was all in a tizzy over that until the next week when they crushed Buffalo, where people said Buffalo was going to give them a tough game. They only won that one by 31. They win by 31 again on Sunday. They beat the Bears on the road by 29. They beat the Jets at home by 42. They whacked Detroit on Thanksgiving Day, despite the, you know, success of the team in the first half. They actually played four quarters in the NFL. So when you address and looking at a team, you got to look at the whole body of work for the whole game too. So analysts will come up to try to make the games, and they'll try to come up with something over the next couple of weeks. They'll try and come up with a team, and you'll hear theories from all four. I still think the one that I only care about is Indianapolis. They're the only team. Because I don't care what Peyton Manning has back there, and again, they did not look good against Tennessee. I thought they'd come out and play a lot better. They still have a lot of defensive problems. You think the Patriots have defensive problems? Colts have defensive problems. I mean, the running game is coming back a little bit because Adai is back. But still, Peyton Manning should always, and I'd say the same thing if Tom Brady was on a team like that, I'd say the same thing. You can't go into a playoff game and not be concerned about Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. You just can't. So I don't care who else is on the team, what they're running, whatever it is. If those two guys, if Peyton Manning's on the field, he can beat you. He can beat you. And if the Patriots don't play well, even though they are playing on a superior level right now, if they should happen to play Indy in a playoff game, even if it's here, I mean, they'll need to play very well. And I think they would. I think they are overall a much better team than Indianapolis is. But still, I've seen stranger things happen than a kind of a banged-up Peyton Manning team coming on the road to win a playoff game. You know, I've seen worse things that can happen. And I always try to pinch myself sometimes, remember, not so much 2007 what happened with the Patriots because of, you know, the Philadelphia-Baltimore game, even though they won both. They kind of rebounded and scored 38 against the Giants in that game 17 finale, game 16 finale, which a lot of people forget about. All of a sudden they couldn't score until they put up 38 against the Giants again. But I remember the Giants playoff game in 07 against Tampa Bay, and I brought this up before. And they couldn't have looked worse in the first half of that game against the Buccaneers. I remember clearly, and I think the first five possessions, I think they went 3 and out. I think they only had 3 points at half. I'd have to look up the game, but they looked like crap. Completely like they had no business being in the playoffs at all. Kind of like they look a lot of times this year with overrated Eli. But in the second half of that Tampa Bay game in 07, man, they came on. And they were a different team. Whatever Coughlin said to him at halftime of that game against Tampa Bay. So they were a different team. And they made it all the way to the Super Bowl, and they were underdogs every game and came through. So, I mean, you just never know. And I don't think anybody would have ever predicted, after watching the Giants play Tampa Bay in 07 in the first half, that they ever would have gone on to win the Super Bowl. So you play to win the games. That's what you do. It's the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriot.com. Here until 6. Going to take a quick break. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradiopatriots.com. Got a lot of them up there between Facebook and on the webradiopatriots.com page. I will get to all of them. Also, again, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Scott Zolak will join me in the 5 o'clock hour. See if he has any preference of who the Patriots he wants to see the Patriots play a week from. And I'm thinking the game's going to be. Why am I hearing, Kev? Maybe why am I hearing Saturday at 4:30? Possibly. Well, here's the thing.
The game is on Sunday the 16th at 4:30.
Okay, but here's the thing. Here's what confused. You would know because you're tied into all this stuff down here.
Yep.
The Jets are playing on Saturday.
Yep.
So usually what happens is the team that plays on Saturday plays the following Saturday. So if the Jets should win. I thought usually that's the case because they don't like to give teams that advantage, whether it's a day.
Yeah.
Obviously, the team that plays on Sunday, they never give that team a short week of practice to play on Saturday.
Right. So, all I know is that we got a release from the NFL, all the employees here, in our email, and it was like set in stone, your game will be Sunday, January 16th at 4:30.
Well, that's interesting. Well, maybe that's Well, I guess, you know, giving the Jets an extra day, is if the Jets
possibly
should win, they get an extra day of rest, which I thought the NFL didn't like doing that one way or the other. Obviously, they don't like a team playing on Sunday. I don't think a team's ever played
because they released the
on
entire,
Sunday.
They released the entire schedule all the way through the AFC Championship game, and if the Patriots were lucky enough to advance past their you know, their divisional game, the AFC title game would be the second of the two title games.
Well, that I get, and that's because that's the same thing. I'm talking about usually if a team plays on Saturday, they usually like to go a week off, so it's, fair advantage.
I get what you're saying.
You know, usually a team that plays on Sunday doesn't play on Saturday, and a team that plays on Saturday doesn't usually get the extra day's rest and plays on Sunday. Usually try to keep it pretty consistent.
I get what you're saying.
But
yeah,
that's why I thought they'd wait. And,
I thought they would, too, and it was a surprise kind of to people around here, but we all got the email, so we're locked in.
So we're locked in Sunday at
planning for it.
A week from Sunday.
Already, the planning has already begun.
A week from Sunday at 4:30.
Yep.
That's just that'll be the second game.
That'll be us. Yep.
That'll be the Patriots hosting either the Chiefs, the Jets, or
the Ravens.
Or the Ravens. One of those three. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. Come back with you on the Pete Shepherd Show here until 6:00, right here on Patriots.com.
Pete Shepherd. Pete Shepherd. The Pete Shepherd Show on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many AAdvantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn AAdvantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. Can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn AAdvantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/AAdvantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fire services available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. Now's your chance. Give Pete a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Hey, we're back here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradio at patriots.com. Read a couple on Facebook while the other computer gets fixed here. Nathan says on Facebook, the Pats will go all the way to Dallas. They won't let the Rex Ryan and the let the Rex Ryan and the Jets beat them. Belichick won't let Peyton Manning beat him. Brady will definitely not let Terrell Suggs beat him. A Roethlisberger will see the Patriots cheerleaders on the sideline, and McCourty will pick off Matt Castle all day. Well, can't really argue with any of that stuff. it's certainly a possibility. Mike on Facebook says, Pete, the only team is Indy. They are the only team that has enough weapons to upset us. Still, we will prevail and be Super Bowl winners. Frank says, how did the Randy Moss meltdown work out for all the naysayers who said dumping him would be the end of the Pats? Good riddance. True. And I was one of them at the time, but just said I was not ready to. All I knew is that Bill Belichick, and I said it at the time before the Minnesota game, obviously knew when the right time. Very much like playing poker. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. And folding on Randy Moss was the right decision during that time. And when people started to, like the Borgeses of Shaughnessy's of the world, and Borges calling, you know, calling them stupid, the Patriots idiots, and you know they don't know what they're doing and they've lost it, instead of waiting, like and be a little bit more analytical and objective and see how things would turn out, immediately they're stupid, they're idiots, they've lost their minds, they don't know what they're doing, and as usual, Borges and guys like him are sitting here today eating a whole bunch of crow, despite the. The patronizing article that he wrote about Belichick being coach of the year, which was rife with cynicism and little backhanded comments. It was just pathetic, just absolutely pathetic. And it was so phony. But that's what he does. But you can see right through it. He made statements about being coach of the year because if he did, it wasn't about the because of the system and the quarterback and blah 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 blah. Well, I mean, idiot, you can make that case for every single great coach and quarterback ever, right? I mean, you're not going to write about greatest coaches of all time for guys like Rich Kotite, are you? Duh. Why is that? Because they're not good coaches and didn't surround themselves with good players. You can make the case. Every good coach is that Chuck Knoll, Tom Landry, Bill Walsh, Don Shula, all those guys. I mean, I laughed when I read it last. I laughed. He writes this article on Belichick being coach of the year, and it was just awful, awful. He was trying to suck up, but patronize him anyway. It's so phony. I don't know how anybody can't see right through it. So, yeah, I mean, and there were a lot of people, instead of just waiting to see how it would pan out with the Randy Moss situation, just immediately said, well, they can't win anymore. And that's why Belichick and Brady, the adjustments they had to make, I don't think people have a full appreciation. I think most of you do, but some nationally do not, as to how far and how revamped this offense had to go once that happened and how quickly it happened. So kudos to the Patriots again for that, because I don't think a lot of coaches and quarterbacks were able to handle that. Then Frank goes on to say, hey, Pete, where was God last night when Broadway came up? And you got that right. Broadway, for those of you who don't know in poker, is straight 10 to the ace, which I had gotten, and then Frank beat me on the river for a full house, which is he's a good guy and a very good poker player, and that's fine. I have no problem listening to that, but that won't happen again.
Where was this?
I was in Norwood at the Vegas Lounge charity event. Yeah,
I wrote on your wall a few days ago, I just fired up the Full Tilt account for.
That's right. Yes.
To get ready for the off season.
Yeah.
Give me something to do.
Absolutely. I'll be on there tonight when I get home, watching the a very interesting bowl game tonight between Arkansas and Ohio State.
Yeah, my picture's goofy. It's hard to tell it's me because it's like from a distance.
Mike says, "I'm not sure I can handle listening to 2 weeks of speculation on who will derail the Pats. All this negative, positively in in the town sucks. Well, I don't know if that's true about people being negative in the town. I'm not sure yet.
And all this negativity that's in this town sucks.
What scares me is the love fest on ESPN and NFL Network over the last week or two. Now that they've it takes them to win all these games. And maybe they figured out that this team only gave up 15.6 points a game the second half of the season. 15.6 a game. A full touchdown, more than 6.2 points less than the average for the season. Second half of the season. I think that's saying something. I hope people talk about that number. I hope people talk about the turnover ratio. Plus 28, which is just sick. I think they had 10 turnovers all year. One was because Danny got hit in the back and a hard hit and fumbled on Sunday. I mean, look, those numbers are sick. And like I said, you watch all these teams over the last couple of weeks, and the Patriots simply are on a different level. They just are. All you have to do is if you didn't have any numbers in front of you and just watched highlights over the last, if you watched a 15-minute highlight of every single team in the NFL, say over the last 3 weeks, it's not even debatable. I mean, you watch Pittsburgh against the Jets. I mean, yeah, very entertaining game. And you say, how does Pittsburgh lose that game? And then you go back and watch the Patriot highlights and you see how they destroyed both of those teams. Then you go back and look at the Bears. And how you say, how did the Bears beat the Jets in that game, the way that was going? After Cutler threw that horrible interception for a pick six on 3rd and 26. Jets take the lead. And you think maybe their great defense that we've heard about all year long is going to be a stop? They couldn't stop Jack Squat. Does anybody fear Jay Cutler at all? Please. But you look at all these teams and you watch highlights of the Patriots, it's just different. It just is. They're just on a different level. They're way up here. Everybody else here, as Eric Cartman would say. Patriots there. Rest of NFL here. That's just the way it is.
Very funny.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Let's head to email at webradiopatriots.com. And John says, Pete, great job on the show. Sorry to get off track, but if McDaniels doesn't end up in Kansas City as the offensive coordinator, could you envision any scenario in which you'd come back to New England as an assistant head coach or even as the coordinator? I don't know. Look, they left on good terms. I know Bill has a tremendous amount of respect for Josh, and I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I don't know. My probably first instinct says no, he won't end up back here. And I don't know if he'd want to come back here. And look, Eric Mangini got hired by the Browns like the day after the Jets fired him. Remember that? So, if Josh McDaniels can get hired again as head coach, nothing would surprise me. I don't think he will. But who the hell thought Mangini would get hired? And I'm going to say this. I mean, I'm not a big Eric Mangini fan. I respect him as a defensive coordinator and all that stuff. But I got to tell you this. I know they didn't play well against Pittsburgh in the last game of the season. But maybe the Browns didn't do the right thing here. Maybe they screwed up, believe it or not. That team was in a lot of games. You know what they did to the Patriots, that one brain fart that the Patriots had all year, okay? But they were in a lot of other games that they could have won this year, 5 or 6 games. I know the last game against the Steelers was horrible. They looked like crap.
But they also beat the Saints and should have beat the Jets.
Should have beat the Jets and should have beat a lot of other teams that they lost to by 4 points or less. And obviously, we know God is living, as I said earlier in the show, God is living in Cincinnati because Marvin Lewis has a job, and he's living in Ohio, but obviously does not like the Cleveland Browns because Eric Mangini is fired. Now, I think Eric Mangini did 50 times the job coaching this year than Marvin Lewis did. Regardless of what you want to say about Mangini, what happened in the past, we all know that, and I hate him for what he did and all that crap. But you got to give him a little credit for the way he coached the Browns this year. For the most part, I thought they were pretty competitive, almost every one of the games. And somehow Marvin Lewis still has a job. Let's see. Here is Nathan from West Sydney, Australia. Gotta love it. I am internationally known. Hey, Pete. Did you hear what Rex Ryan said about the Colts? He said that every clash he has with them is personal. Can I just come out and say that he is a complete idiot? He fuels the fire with New England, and he fuels the fire with Indianapolis, and also how he can say that if it is personal with the Colts. They beat him in the AFC Championship game last year, and that's about it. If you beat Rex Ryan once, then every game must be personal with everyone. And if the Colts are personal, then what is New England? I hope he beats the Colts. I really do. So you can come up to Gillette and get absolutely hammered again so the crowd can start up the chant again. Jet, J-E-T-S, suck, suck, suck. Your thoughts about Rex Ryan comments? I think Rex Ryan...
Like to do a lot of things with those people.
I think Rex Ryan is a boob. He's an idiot.
Let's make sure we play like the f***ing New York Jets.
He's an idiot.
And not some f***ing slap team.
He's an idiot for the things he says, not because of it. Again, I'm talking about football intelligence here. And I know a lot of the national media thinks it's cute. And it's nice that Rex is so different from all the other coaches like Bill, who don't say much, don't give you much. And it's nice. And he gives you, what does Rex Ryan really give you? Is that what you want? A picking Bozo the Clown act up there? I don't care. It's not entertaining. I mean, we talked to Vic Carucci about this last week. And, you know, Rex isn't going to change, and that's fine. Is he somewhat entertaining? Yeah, he's somewhat entertaining. I'm kind of entertained by him. But then it's just, if you're a Jet fan, you're like, shut up. I kept saying it over and over. As a Jet coach, or you don't, as a Jet fan or Jet coach, you don't have any right to say anything about anybody. You haven't done anything since Joe Namath. What right does any Jet fan have to talk down to anybody in this league? They don't. Do something first. Besides back into the playoffs 2 years in a row. Do something. So Rex Ryan, all he's doing is giving other teams bulletin board materials. That's all he's doing. And, you know, fine. That kind of stuff, you don't win. I mean, you know, I know 2 years, he's got them into the playoffs. Even though he backed in last year, severely backed into the playoffs. Everybody knows they had no reason, but they did win two playoff games. So you got to give him some sort of credit for that. Even though one was against the Bungles. Incredibly. But that act is going to wear very thin. If they get bounced in the first round of the playoffs, I guarantee you the New York media, a lot of the fans, will be calling for his head. And if they ever go to Indianapolis, which I think is possible, and get blown out, which I do think is possible, I think it's unlikely. I think that's going to be a competitive game that the Colts win. But I'll tell you this. Again, I don't see the Jets blowing out Indianapolis. I think Indianapolis can blow out the Jets if they get a lead. Because we've seen the crap fall on the Jets before. And certainly we know now that they're playing the Patriots. I mean, if the Patriots get out to a lead on anybody, for the most part, it's going to be over. But you take an inexperienced team like the Jets and that quarterback, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. If you know, last year, remember in the AFC Championship game, the Jets jumped out to a lead, and I think they actually lead at halftime by 3, if I remember correctly. It might have been tied. Then, you know, the crap hit the fan in the second half for them. But they did hang in there for a half against the Colts last year. But this year, it's going to be an interesting game. Indianapolis better play better than they did on Sunday against Tennessee. The lovely Tiffany in Wisconsin says, "Hi, Pete. Happy New Year. You spoke of your early predictions for the Patriots this year. I always predict we won't lose more than 3 games. So I actually predicted we would go no lower than 13-3. However, after the Moss trade, I thought they would go 10-6. I was accounting for the rebuilding season. Did you watch Mike and Mike right before Christmas? I didn't. They admitted their start of the season Patriot predictions. Greenberg, the Jets ESPN shill, thought the Pats would go 8-8, just like Shaughnessy. And Golic thought the Pats would go 9-7. Aren't they supposed to be analysts? What analysis did they perform to come up with that? What sports analysts would think that Belichick with Tom Brady quarterback wouldn't win at least 10 games this season?" Which is what I said, Tiffany. I agree with you. "Aren't they owed that respect for supposed analysts on ESPN? Is there anything more insulting than to have ESPN analysts admit that a Hall of Fame coach and quarterback wouldn't win 10 games in any given season? Heck, we won 11 games with a backup quarterback." Very good point, Tiffany. Very good point. And even though Tom Brady wasn't at 100% last year, and it certainly had a share of gargantuan mistakes at times in games last year. They still won 10 games last year, and the Welker injury, I thought, you know, was huge at the end, and they just didn't have it. That's, you know, they got their butts whipped in the playoffs last year. This year, a complete turnaround, but I do not understand. And the problem with the national media is a lot of them are stupid, and they make it personal. And they thought, because of one game last year, because Baltimore won so easily here last year, and they did win easily, that somehow that was going to psychologically damage the Patriots with Belichick and Brady. I mean, and you would think, after all this time, knowing those two guys, they would be just the opposite of that. You would think that would be just the opposite. But these guys, some of these guys just don't get it. Like I said, a lot of it's personal. Scott Zolak going to join us shortly?
Working on it.
Okay.
I keep getting high. You've reached the phone of Scott Zolak.
Oh, Zoe, come on. I love Zoe. He's crazy. Zoe is crazy. Interesting to get his thoughts. I know he thinks the Patriots might play, and what he thinks of the entire season. Back to Facebook. But again, there's just to finish my point, though, quickly, there's, once again, a lot of people eating a whole lot of crow, locally and nationally. And they'll come up with all sorts of stupid, interesting theories of how they think the Patriots can lose. And the only way the Patriots can lose, finally, a couple weeks ago, after I said it was one of the funniest things I've seen, you had Berman, you had Tom Jackson, and you had John Saunders in the studio because the Eagles game was postponed until Tuesday. So they had a lot of extra time, and they did all the analysis and highlights of all these teams. They get to the Patriots, and they show three highlights, and basically said, and they had like a 30-second thing analysis. They said, look, if the Patriots were running the ball like that, nobody can beat them. And they just moved on. And that's what it comes down to. If the Patriots are running the ball as effectively as they have all year long with that 1-2 punch with Ben Jarvis Green and Ellison Woodhead, forget about it. I mean, it'll just be sick. It's almost not even fair. It's almost not even fair, to be honest with you. But it'll be fun.
Hopefully he gets back to us.
It'll be fun. He might have fallen. No one saw you could have fallen asleep. Who knows?
He's either asleep or he's eating. Those are the only two things
that's
he does when he's not on the
right.
Radio.
That's right.
The man eats like it's his job.
His mom makes great pierogies, by the way. His mom's a Polish descent, makes great pierogies. She sometimes sends them to him from the Midwest. He used to bring some to the EEI, and they were outstanding. Mrs. Zolak, outstanding. Brian says, I don't know if you've covered this, but Marvin Lewis got re-signed. I know you don't like him, and neither do I. Absolutely ridiculous that he was re-signed. Well, Brian, you must have missed my opening monologue at 4:15 or at 4:10 or at 4:05 to 4:15. And in case you missed it, you can go back and listen to it on the podcast. But basically what I said was, if you do not believe in any divine inspiration, I think you need to rethink your faith. Whatever God you may believe in, there is a God. Because that's the only way to explain how Marvin Lewis has a job today in the Queen City of Cincinnati. It is unbelievable, mystifying to me how that happens. Jay on Facebook, Pete, regarding McDaniel's email, he has a coach ever come back to New England since Bill Belichick has been there? I know plenty of them have ended up out of work soon after leaving. Well, let's see. Trying to think. Let's go through the coaches now. Let's see. Dante Scarnecchia, he's been there forever with them. Bill O'Brien, he hasn't gone anywhere. He's up and coming. Scott O'Brien, special teams, he's up and coming. Josh Boyd, Ivan Fierce, been there a long time. Pepper Johnson's been with the coach for a long time. Corin Brown. So I don't think so. I know I'd have to double check. I mean, that's something, you know, maybe Kevin. I don't think it's happened. I don't think it's happened. That a coach has left here and come back in any way, shape, or form. I really don't think so. I don't think it's happened. So that's why I don't anticipate it happening again. I mean, nothing's impossible in sports, but. Dave says, hey, Pete, I was watching NFL Network the other day, and Marshall Faulk said something that completely destroys all of his credibility. The question was, is Brady the best quarterback in NFL history? Michael Irvin said, if Brady wins this Super Bowl, hands down, he is without a doubt the best, better than Montana. I'd have to agree. Marshall Faulk, who is obviously the reason hates the Pats, we know, comment was this. No matter what, it doesn't matter how many rings Brady wins, Peyton Manning will always be better than Brady because Manning had so much more pressure being a first-round pick. Also, he said Manning had to carry the team on his back. Conclusion, Marshall Faulk is an idiot. Well, we know Marshall Faulk is an idiot. That's why he should never be allowed to comment on the Patriots. And like I said, I told Vic this, Carucci, last week, it took him, you know, 8 years and finally going on NFL Network to realize and say, he goes, the Patriots are good. But for Marshall Faulk to come out with a statement like that, he's a freaking fool. He's absolutely a fool. If guys like Michael Irvin can figure it out, Marshall Faulk, it just goes to show you. And the problem is, nobody on NFL Network will come out and challenge Faulk. Not one of these guys, whether they're ex-athletes or reporters, will come out and say, have a sit-down, have like a debate. Have one of those, put the podium up, two podiums, have like a debate, and challenge him. I would love to put Marshall Faulk on the stand if I was a cross-examining attorney and go at him. And just come out and say, Marshall, if he just came out and said, I hate the Patriots, it's personal, then I got no problem with it. He shouldn't be commenting on it anyway, then I got no problem with it. But when you try to hide it in disguise, I mean, it's ridiculous. You make yourself look like a fool. Just come out and say it. I hate the Patriots, Marshall Faulk. Just say it. Save yourself the embarrassment. And I don't know why. And it happens on these other shows, too. You know, some of these, not so much on ESPN. They're getting much better at it. And they're getting much better at challenging some of these other athletes and some analysts when they make a bad mistake, particularly in college football, which I like a lot. They do it a lot. ESPN does a great job in the college football coverage. But if somebody says something like crazy, outrageous, like Lou Holtz does every week, somebody usually challenges them on it, you know, and they go and they get into a nice little debate. But on NFL Network, when Marshall Faulk says something that stupid, why doesn't anybody challenge him on it? Nobody does. Why? Are they afraid? They want to hurt somebody's feelings? It's unbelievable. I don't get it. But you're right, Dave. It was a stupid, idiotic statement to make for Marshall Faulk, but one of many that he's made over the years. Nathan says on Facebook, with the Pats having the 17th overall pick in this year's draft from Oakland, what position do the Pats go? Do they get their other first rounder, Dan Merriweather, and the Pro Bowl, and trade it to the top five and get a stud 3-4 defensive end to replace Seymour? Or do they go for DeMarcus Ware type OLB? Or do they trade back and get about five or six average players, but they are good value? Well, how'd this year's draft turn out? Pretty good so far. And I've always said this, to try to get into the head of Belichick and what they're going to do on draft day, I have no idea. And it's not just the number one picks. Remember, they got six picks in the top, four in the top 33? And the 33rd pick is basically like a first round pick.
That's the Carolina pick.
It's a second round pick. It's a second pick of the second round.
Yeah.
So they basically have four. You know, it's crazy what they have. It's really going to be. You talk about a making of another dynasty, and I think it's, you know, I think considering three Super Bowl titles, could have had five. Really could have had five if you think about it. A play here and a play there, and they could have had five. We all know in 2006 AFC Championship game, if they had beaten the Colts to the last second and they just simply ran out of gas on defense. They ran out of players, to be honest with you. They win that game. They maul the Bears in that Super Bowl. We all know that. That's with Rashay Caldwell as your top receiver because they were peaking down the stretch. They were playing their butts off. Stole a game in San Diego, but still. And in 07, it took, you know, basically four miracle plays. God was in Arizona that day. Four miracle plays for the Giants to win that game. We all know what they were. So, to me, it's still a pretty good dynasty because they were in four Super Bowls, won three, could have won five. And the only time they've kind of had brain farts in the playoff, obviously last year, and the game in Denver in 05 where they had five turnovers, and it still was competitive down the stretch. But they just they had a rough game that night in Denver in the playoffs. I think even Troy Brown had a turnover in that game on a punt, which was unheard of, if I remember correctly. But they've been pretty solid. And the one thing I will agree with some fans out there and some analysts is that this might be Belichick's best coaching job, although I do think getting to the AFC Championship game in 06 was pretty damn good with Rashay Caldwell as your top receiver. I mean, that was an incredible – nobody ever thought – I can remember through weeks 3, 4, and 5, which people just overreact like they always do, and not wait to see how it's going to play. The big picture is going to play out. Not wait to see what happens after Thanksgiving, which is when the NFL season really kicks in. The spazzing out early weeks 2, 3, 4, and 5. And I kept saying, we don't know what this team's going to be like. Wait till again, week 8, 9, and 10. And you just have to think that way every season. I know as fans we like to react and overreact every game. We do it with the Red Sox every time. They'll open up against the Yankees this year, and we'll go crazy if, God forbid, this great powerhouse loses. The Red Sox will lose to the Yankees opening day, and the season will be lost. All that stuff happens all the time, but you can't think that way, and especially in football. Football is just so different than everybody else. I mean, you really have to wait till the second half of the season. Before you get an idea of what this team is all about. And if looking at the numbers, some of the numbers I gave you, this team averaged 37.3 points a game in the second half. For the season, they averaged 32.4. So they averaged over 5 points more a game the second half of the season. The defense overall for the season averaged gave up 21.8 points a game for 16 games. The second half of the season, they gave up 15.6, a full touchdown, 6.2 points less per game. So that tells me something. Yeah, I know the third down percentage, completion percentage overall was last. Yeah, I get that, 47.3%. But how can you argue with the other numbers I just gave you? They improved offensively the second half of the year by 5 points, just about 5 points, 4.9 points a game, whatever it is. 4.9. They scored 4.9 points per game more the second half of the year and gave up 6.2 points less the second half of the year. That's pretty good. And you can really make a case that they had maybe three bad quarters of football during that entire stretch of those 8 games. And that being maybe the fourth quarter of the Indianapolis game, where they were up by 17 in the fourth quarter, allowed Indy to creep back, still won the game. The first quarter against Detroit, really first quarter and a half of Detroit on Thanksgiving Day, wasn't particularly good. But, again, that's why they play four. They destroyed them in the second half. And you can make a case, certainly, a quarter or two in the Green Bay game, where that was just an odd type of a game with Matt Flynn, a quarterback, for Aaron Rodgers. And, certainly people overreacted and thought that was going to be a trend, and they were going to continue on that pace, and instead they blow up Buffalo and blow up Miami. Which tells you a lot about the character of this team. They have the best coach, and they have the best quarterback. And this is one hell of a team and something special is happening here. And you could see it. I think a lot of people walk up to it in the Pittsburgh game. A lot of people. I mean, they killed them in Pittsburgh. They run by 13. That game they could have won that game by 40. That's when it really started to click in how good this team was going to be. So, like I said, if you watched all these teams over the last couple of weeks, the Patriots are simply on a different level. They're in the stratosphere, and everybody else is like in Middle Earth. That's what it is. It's not to say if you don't play well, you can't get beat. We all know. Nobody has to cliche me about upsets because they happen all the time. I understand that. But this team is too mentally disciplined. They don't do stupid things. They don't have stupid turnovers, Diassi. They don't have any of that stuff. They are smart. They are well coached. And they get it. I mean, they totally get it. They understand. There's a lot of players on there. They understand what it takes. Their captains understand what it's going to take to win a championship. They have good veteran leadership on this team. All right, it's the Pete Shepard Show here on Patriots.com. I'm going to take a quick break. Hopefully Zoe will wake up from his nap. He's supposed to join me, but we'll see. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradio at patriots.com. Also, you can Facebook me. My wall is available to you. Post something on the wall, and I will read as many of them as I can. I also have my NFL picks coming up. My best week of the season last week, by the way, 11-5. 11-5.
And a very tough week to pick, too.
It was a very tough week to pick. But like the Patriots, I just get better as the season goes along. So we'll see. We'll see coming up in the playoff. I have my playoff picks coming up at about 5:45 tonight. But when we come back, more emails, more Facebook stuff, and more phone calls, 508-543-7482. Pete Shepard Show on Patriot.com.
Pete Shepard. The Pete Shepard Show on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. Can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27th, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. Now's your chance. Give Pete a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Oh, back here on the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com with you until 6 o'clock. Hopefully Scott Zolak, former Patriot quarterback, and will join us. Still trying to track him down. We think he fell asleep. I'm not sure about that. Like we said, he's either fallen asleep or he's eating. But we'll figure it out. My pick's coming up at 5:45. Not only will I give you the pick, I will give you the score as well. Those of you who like totals, that kind of stuff. Just for you know, some extra jelly beans if you choose that lifestyle. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline number. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Is it Jurgen or Jurgen? I'm sure it's Jurgen. On Facebook says, I am not afraid of anybody in the AFC. We all know what happens when you talk negatively about the Patriots. Brady and the Pats have a monster game, parentheses, ask the Ravens and Jets. So Patriots are going to Dallas. I don't think any team from the NFC will stand a chance against us. We're just so much better. I'm not with you. Jay says, that is Marshall Faulk versus Tom Brady link. Terrible. Michael Irvin actually gets it right. Yeah, I know. We just talked about that. Marshall Faulk is a total idiot. But, I, you know, Michael Irvin should get in his face and shake him and just really go, just have Marshall Faulk admit that it's strictly personal. That's all.
Don't you?
Yeah, exactly. That's all it is with him. It's strictly personal. So what we resolved today is that the Patriots are on a different level than everybody else. I've tried to break down some defensive number for you to show what this Patriot defense has actually done this year, which really, really the only number that really counts when it's all said and done is points allowed, which is 15.6 the second half of the season. A full touchdown, 6.2 points less than their average of the entire year. Obviously, the offense, you know what it was. The offense overall averaged over 32 points a game, but the second half of the season averaged over 37 points per game. The turnover ratio, phenomenal, plus 28. And the rest of it is, you know, I mean, it really is some very, very interesting numbers. You can't say enough about McCourty, Gronkowski, Hernandez, the entire class, like guys like, you know, Jermaine Cunningham coming in, doing a great job. So many things. Danny Woodhead, obviously. Remember when Faulk went down? The panic that went into the air. And no one knew exactly what Danny Woodhead was going to be like. I knew he would be a competitive player. I'm glad the Patriots picked him up. But nobody, even I, did not expect him to come on and do the things he's doing and be so much a part of this team. So hopefully tomorrow we'll find out if he practices or not. He might not practice for a couple of days. Again, they don't have to play this week. So if he has, don't know if he has a slight concussion. He got banged up pretty good on Sunday. But my gut feeling is come a week from Sunday, I think when the Patriots are scheduled to play, I think he'll be out there. And go on a limb and say he'll be out there. Email me at webradio at patriots.com. Ace ticket hotline 508-543-7482. Let's go back to one of our emails and say, Gina Daytona, Florida says, how would Ricky Williams look in a flying Elvis helmet? I don't know. He'd be flying high, is my guess. Not too sure. By the way, I heard Ricky on a radio interview in Miami earlier today. In fact, it was on 98.5 coming in. Zoe and Gresh were playing it on the way in. And you talk about throwing Chad Henne under the bus. Wow. I think it was a Seth Greenberg show, I think, down in Miami. I don't know if it's on satellite or not. I forget. But, oh, my God. He was very candid and ripping Henne and kind of backhanded, not so flattering things to say about Sperano either. This is Lauren in Charleston, South Carolina. You know how the Pats are not doing very well when it comes to third down defense? How can they improve on it? Well, like I said, here's how you improve on it. Do you really give a damn about third down percentage? Is that such a big thing right now? When you take into consideration the whole body of work, this is how numbers can be conflicting. If the third down conversion percentage is so bad, then how come the second half of the season they have allowed, on average, 6.2 points less per game? Isn't that really all that matters? They've averaged giving up over a touchdown less per game in the second half of the season. I think that's progress. So like I said, you take into consideration, one, two, three, four, five, six games out of the eight where they won the game by at least 13 points. I'm talking about Pittsburgh, Detroit, the Jets, the Bears, Buffalo, and Miami. Six out of the eight games that they won by at least 13 points. Okay? That's where third down percentage stuff, numbers, people get all excited about because of games like that. Because they're up by so much, and those numbers get skewed. So what I'm saying to you is don't get caught up in those numbers. I told you, red zone offense, red zone defense, turnover ratio, points allowed. And I'm going to say it till I'm blue in the face. This team averaged the second half of the season giving up 15.6 points. 6.2 less than they did on the average for the season. So I think there's some progress being made. And the offense improved as well. They just got better and better. And even if you're not a Patriot fan, it has to frustrate you. But, I mean, it's like, you know what it's like? It's almost like being an old school Bruin fan when you used to watch the Montreal Canadiens and to some degree the Edmonton Oilers. How they did it as much as, and I hated Gretzky. I hated Edmonton those years. I really did. And this was before they even played the Bruins. I mean, I respected them, but, I mean, they just made it look so easy. Remember the Oilers on Edmonton on offense back in the 80s? How unbelievable they just made it seem. It was just flawless. They were so much smarter. They were ahead of everybody. They always knew where everybody was going to be. And that's what this Patriot offense is like. It's like, to me, it's like it reminds me of the old Edmonton Oilers, kind of Montreal Canadiens hockey teams back in their heyday. Just flawless. And just, you know, either passing the puck to a spot, throwing the football to a spot. Everybody, Bill says it all the time. Belichick says it all the time. Do your job. Do your job. And that's what these guys have done.
Everybody just do your job.
Exactly. And the thing is, I think you also have to take into account the guys that didn't, and I said this about 4 weeks ago or 3 or 4 weeks ago, the little things like Sammy Morris just doing, you know, not complaining. I mean, a lot of guys in his situation would have mouthed off and been upset because Ben Jarvis Green Ellis took his spot on the roll until then Danny Woodhead comes in and he jumps ahead of him on the depth chart. So guys like Sammy Morris, Fred Taylor, who could have bitched and moaned about more playing time, little things like that, you know, that didn't happen. You know, and it may, I think that stuff goes unnoticed far too often with this team, which is another sign of being a great coach. And it's the same thing. It's why Terry Francona and Doc Rivers do such a great job as well, you know, in different scenarios. I mean, they're all – you're talking about three peas in a pod. And Claude, I'm still not sold on Claude yet. I mean, Claude does a lot of good things I like. He does some things I don't like for the Bruins. But I'm not sure he's not at that level yet because he hasn't won a championship. He hasn't even gone past the second round. He might be. I mean, I think he handles some things well over there. Other things I think he handles not so good. But I think Terry and Bill and Doc have all won championships. Obviously, Bill's won multiple championships. Terry has as well. He got two. Hopefully get three this year. I mean, they are – you want to talk about a fascinating conversation. It would be great, and maybe someday I'll get to do it, have three of them in the room at the same time and really talk about what it takes to manage a team. And I'm not talking about manage like in the way, you know, Terry manages the game in baseball. I mean, just to manage a team, a championship-contending team. It's tough. I know it looks easy on paper. Ask the Miami Heat. I know they're playing better, but teams like that. But it's difficult. There are a lot of egos that you have to satisfy. There's a lot of stuff that happens that, believe me, you guys and girls will never hear about. A lot of fires that Bill has to put out. But what's great about Belichick and Terry and Doc is they stop it at the beginning. They never let it get to the point where it's going to explode and wreck the team. Even though Randy Moss had his press conference after opening day against Cincinnati and had some not so flattering things to say later on. But the thing is that Bill Belichick never let it get to his team. Never let it consume them. It was always about football. Terry, the same thing with Manny Ramirez. Doc, what he's had to go through, you know, and a lot of different things with the Celtics, some different scenarios. All three of those coaches are brilliant at managing their specific team. Different personalities, family problems, all that stuff. It's hard. And it's even more difficult when you are a championship team like the three that we have in this city. It really is. I don't think people around here, and that includes some of the writers, appreciate it. What these coaching staffs on all three teams have to do in order to win a championship. It's not just, you know, X and O's, here, Tom, go out, throw the ball, and we win. It's not just the hard work at practices and all that stuff, which we all know all three teams do. and the Bruins to an extent. I'm sorry to exclude the Bruins, but I'm talking about winning a championship. Since they can't get out of the second round, I can't include them in this conversation yet. I hopefully will be able to next time or next year. But it is hard to get a team. It's hard to win a championship, no matter how good and talented you are. It's difficult. And I think in football, we have 53 players. I think it might be the hardest of all. Oh, I shouldn't say that because overall, besides some of the wide receivers, football players on average are a lot less diva-ish than baseball players and basketball players. A lot of divas in baseball and in basketball. A lot of them. But it really is amazing, if you really think about it, folks, over this decade, to see what Bill Belichick, Terry Francona, and Doc Rivers have accomplished with their respective teams as far as managing them and making sure that the day-to-day friction that inevitably comes up with a lot of these teams, with any team, but they cut it off at the pass and make sure that it does not infect them as a disease and force them to, make drastic decisions. Even though you can say that Randy Moss was a drastic decision, that wasn't a drastic decision. It was a decision that Bill Belichick came to a conclusion after watching Randy Moss over a 4 or 5 week period. Like I said, kind of like poker. You had no one to hold him, no one to fold him. It was time to fold Randy Moss. He was done. He was done here. And there's probably not a player in the world that would ever regret it more. I think when this is all said and done, Randy will come out and say, and he might even say it this year, it was the dumbest thing he ever did, was kind of shoot his way out of town over here. And you could certainly make the case it was a blessing in disguise. There's no doubt about it. The numbers are there to prove it. You could also probably still make the case that if he were here, they might still even be a better team. That may not be the case. And I'm talking about him not acting like a diva. I'm talking about if he wasn't bitching and complaining, but that's the other part of it. Probably would have been. Would Gronkowski and Hernandez have developed if Randy Moss were here the entire season? Maybe not. Maybe, but maybe not. Maybe they wouldn't have had as big of an impact. Whatever it is, it happened for a reason, and Bill Belichick saw what was coming and did what he had to do. And he should be commended for that. And that's why I think he should be Coach of the Year. And that's why a lot of years, I'm not a big Phil Jackson fan by any stretch of the imagination, but even when the Celtics were good in the '80s too, Casey Jones never really got consideration. I mean, it's tough. Pat Riley got Coach of the Year with the Lakers, and they won back-to-back championships. But I think sometimes the NFL, the pro sports, you need to do more of that. You need to recognize the top teams to stay at the top for an entire season. A lot has to do with the coach. Or the manager. A lot of it. And there are so many day-to-day fires that get put out that you just never hear about. Believe me, there's a lot. Particularly in baseball, where it's such a long season. Man, when it's all said and done, Terry will tell you stories that you won't believe some of the stuff that he's had to put up with. And I mean beyond 16-year-old babysitting crap. Trust me. And I'm sure Bill and Doc have stories as well that, when it's all said and done, hopefully we'll hear some of them. They'll be amusing afterwards, years later, but when they're actually happening, it takes a lot of stones to cut some of the stuff off at the pass before it spreads. And it's difficult. A lot of coaches can't do it. A lot of organizations can't do it, which is why they suck. You take a team like the Bungles, or the Raiders. Things like that, what they've done. I mean, that's why those teams aren't winning and haven't won in a while, decades. It starts at the top with good ownership in all sports. Then obviously good personnel / coaching management decisions, and then the players. So we're lucky in this area what we have, because it starts with ownership. Robert Kraft, enough said. Wick Grossbeck, enough said. John Henry, what they've done, enough said. don't have to like everything all these teams do all the time, but we are lucky to have organizations like this and ownership, because a lot of these teams don't have it and they fail. It starts at the top and trickles its way down. So getting back to my overall point, Belichick should be coach of the year. That's what I'm trying to say. But I think we get spoiled around here, and we've had such a run at championships, and you know, there's going to be specials locally and all that stuff. It's great. And all you're going to see is you're going to see all the fluff stuff. You know, you're not going to see the real inside stuff day to day. I mean, you'll see a couple of mic'd up coaches or managers here and there and all the stuff when they run all these specials, and it'll be nice and cute and everything else. But it goes so much deeper than that. It really does. You know, and that's why when you know, that's why Michael Holley's book, Patriot Ring, was such a great book, even though they didn't make the playoffs that year. But it's such a fantastic book. That's where you really get into the nuts and bolts of what it's like on a day-to-day basis when you're covering a team. Some of the stuff that happens. Tracy on Facebook says, could the third down stats be affected by our defense spending so much time on the field because of turnovers for scores and quick scoring offense? No, I think a lot of it is affected by that. I think it goes hand in hand, Tracy. I mean, it's that and the fact that the offense have put this team up by, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 touchdowns in some of these games. No question has an effect on it. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Back to web radio on Patriots.com. Gino in Athol says, hey, Pete, are you concerned about playing an elite quarterback such as Breeze or Rodgers? Love the show. Thank you. Well, I think, like I said, I would be concerned about playing Peyton Manning as an elite quarterback in the AFC if it should come down to that. I'm not sure it will, but if it does, yeah, I'd be concerned. Sure, I mean, and what happens is, and this is what other, if they do end up playing New Orleans in the Super Bowl, the first thing you're going to see is that debacle the Patriots played in last year in New Orleans where they were just completely destroyed. And you can't think that game in any way, shape, or form is going to have an effect on what could possibly be a possible Super Bowl matchup. Sure, Drew Brees is a real good quarterback. I'm not sure I'm ready to use great with him yet. I think he's a really good quarterback. Certainly can make plays. But that New Orleans team has been up and down this year. And they can turn it on in the playoffs. They did last year, certainly. I think they went into the playoffs last year in a 2 or 3 game losing streak, and they found a way to do it. So, I mean, I'm not counting them out at all, too, as far as getting back to the Super Bowl. I think it's possible. And Aaron Rodgers, sure. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, to me, I still think, and I'll get to my picks in a second. I'm picking the Patriots and Green Bay in the Super Bowl. That's my pick. And I've been touting Green Bay for a while now. I thought the Eagles might have had a shot a few weeks ago, but you know, just watching, you know, Michael Vick for as great a season as he's had and everything else, there's some other things on the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, not that they couldn't make it. They certainly can. I mean, I'm not saying, you talk about the NFC in the playoffs. I mean, it is, you're talking about Green Bay, New Orleans, and Atlanta, and Philadelphia. That's four teams right there that, you know, I don't think anybody would surprise. I'd be surprised. The team would surprise me if they got there with the Bears and Seattle. The Bears in Seattle got to the Super Bowl, I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked. And I'm saying, Cutler's, please. Seattle obviously would be the big shock. And Chicago would be the second biggest shock if that happened. The rest of them, Green Bay, Atlanta, New Orleans, Philadelphia. I mean, that's almost, you could, you know. See, the problem is this. You know, the problem is, when I'm right, all of a sudden, you know, last week I was right, I could not believe how close that Green Bay-Chicago game was on Sunday. I mean, it just – and this is where I try to get caught up, which a lot of people do, and I do the same thing sometimes. Sometimes I have to take a step back. You say to yourself, how could the Patriots go into the Bears in a blizzard and beat them by 40 and beat them the way they did? And – then Green Bay at home and really a must-win situation, and they're trailing most of the game and barely squeak out a touchdown win over the Bears, where the Patriots went up and down the field in the Bears so easily, and Aaron Rodgers, who I think is a real good quarterback, and maybe a great one when it's all said and done, and they just couldn't do anything in a must-win situation. They were extremely fortunate to win that game. They almost didn't make the playoffs. And now I have him in the Super Bowl. So, and it's a reluctant Super Bowl. I don't know. I mean, I know sentimentally we're all rooting for Matt Ryan in Atlanta. It'd be great to see him. The Falcons get there. But Green Bay, Atlanta, New Orleans, Philadelphia, I don't think anybody can say for sure that one of those teams has a distinct advantage over the other. I don't think so. Michael Vick, no Michael Vick. Because I think they're going to lose. I'll get to my picks in just a few minutes. Going to take a quick break. And when we come back, more emails, more Facebook stuff. And then I will have my playoff picks coming off my best week of the season at 11-5 against the spread. How about that? Looking to go a perfect 4-0. I will have the winners, and I will have the scores for you as well. So you can hold me to that. All part of the Pete Shepherd Show, Patriots.com until 6.
Pete Shepherd. Pete Shepherd. The Pete Shepherd Show on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27th, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge.
Back here on patriots.com. Pete Shepherd in for a few more minutes. It's time now. The moment you've all been waiting for. Coming off an 11-5 incredible week. I'm here with my playoff picks and scores. So once again, Mom and Dad, stop what you're doing. Gather around the radio. Light a candle. Shut the stove off. Turn off the microwave. Gather the kids and your dog. And get ready for Pete's Picks for Wild Card Weekend. Here we go. Game number one. Saturday, 4:30. New Orleans at Seattle. The Seahawks back in, as you all know, with a 7-9 record. The worst officiated game all year long, in my opinion, that I've seen was that officiating crew in Seattle on Sunday night. Pathetic. Stole one away a little bit. Not stole one, but they helped. Rams got screwed in that game. But they're out. New Orleans, 10.5-point favorite at Seattle. There's a reason for that. They go into Seattle, 12th man, no 12th man, Pete Carroll, blah, 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 blah. New Orleans, 34, Seattle, 20. It probably won't even be that close. 34-20, New Orleans blows them out, which I think 14 points in a playoff game. It's a pretty good idea. And I'm thinking it's going to be more like 34-13, but Seattle gets a garbage touchdown at the end. 34-20, New Orleans beats Seattle to move on. Then on Saturday night, the game everybody around here will be interested in. That is going to have a higher rating probably around here as a lot of Patriot games. Not as high, but close. The Indianapolis Colts are home against Fat Mouth Rex Ryan and the Jets. In what could be a very interesting game, I think this one will be close for the most part. Like I said, if there's a chance one team could blow out the other, it would be Indianapolis blowing out the Jets. The Jets cannot blow out Indianapolis, in my opinion. But I don't think it's going to be blowout at all. 2.5 points. I like Indy. They win the game 23-16. And Rex Ryan and his fat mouth and beautiful feet go home for the winter. And that's that. That's the last you hear of Rex Ryan, although some dope on some network will probably have him on as an analyst because he's so charismatic. Do me a favor. Just bring your foot joys or whatever it is you wear so I don't have to see your feet or your wife's feet ever again. But I like Indy. 23-16. Should be a great game, though. Should be a great game.
Just to interject something real quick,
yep.
Pete.
Yep.
I just watched a little segment on PTI,
yep.
Which pretty much everybody watches. Yep. And they had a toss-up segment. You take the Patriots to win the Super Bowl or the field, so yeah. Any other team.
Yeah.
Wilbon and Kornheiser both took the Patriots.
Ah, well, they're smart guys. I mean, they are smart guys. Very good show, by the way. Now on Sunday at 1 o'clock, Kansas City is home against Baltimore. Baltimore is favored by 3 in Kansas City. Arrowhead Stadium, lots of memories. Haven't had a lot of playoff games there over the years. Not lately. But the Chiefs are home. You know the story. Matt Castle, Romeo Crennel, Charlie Weiss, who is going to coach and not head for Florida yet. What a story this would be if they could win. But they can't win, in my opinion. And they won't win. I think Baltimore blasts them, to be honest with you. And by blast, I mean 34-17. Don't give me this stuff about Kansas City can run, they can do this, they're home, they can do that. They are inexperienced. I don't like what I saw last week against the Raiders. They should have not played that poorly in that game. I don't like it. I know it might not carry over. It's a different game. But I think the Ravens are a much better team than Kansas City. I'll take Baltimore, 34-17 at Kansas City. Ed Reed with a touchdown, by the way. Pick 6 for Ed Reed. Another fascinating game. Finally, Sunday at 4:30. The Eagles are at home. A little 3-point favorite against Green Bay. And I'm going with the Packers in this one. I think the Packers are better defensively, and they are better offensively, despite Michael Vick's impressive numbers this year. But I also... This man can be dealt with. Green Bay has a very good defense, and I'm picking the Packers 20-13. However, the the Packers better shape up on offense. They can't go in and play as lackluster as they did against the Bears this past Sunday. Because if they do, if they play like that, if they play the exact same way they played Sunday against Philadelphia, the Eagles will kill them. They will kill them. But I don't anticipate that happening. McCarthy will have them ready to go. Aaron Rodgers will be ready. They'll be in a better frame of mind. This game means, not that Sunday's game shouldn't have, they're fighting for a playoff spot. For some reason, they came out very lackluster at home. But I think Green Bay is a powerful, powerful team. And I think they've come out and beat Philadelphia 20-13. That is my prediction. So there you have it. I have New Orleans winning 34-20 at Seattle. I have Indy beating the Jets at home 23-16. I have Baltimore kicking Kansas City in the behind at Arrowhead 34-17. And I have the Green Bay Packers. You will not be in the frozen tundra of Lando Field, but the lovely Lincoln Financial Field they will be at. And they will win 20-13, sending Michael Vick and all his cronies home in Philadelphia for a long, miserable winter, as all Philadelphia fans deserve in every sport. And again, this is not my hatred for Philadelphia. I would really pick the Philly Eagles if I thought they could win. And not that they can't win. I think it'll be a close game. But Green Bay wins 20-13. I think they're a better team. I think they're a better team overall. Well, that's going to do it. First edition of the Pete Shepherd Show here in 2011. Pretty good. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to Zoe, who almost joined us but is still asleep or eating pierogies. Thanks, Zoe. Appreciate that. Thanks to Kevin and Jason. Who
some good stories.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
I can't
good
wait.
Stories.
I'll be calling you, Zoe, on the way home, so you better pick up my phone. I'm going to lambaste him when I get on the phone. Anyway, that's going to do it. Thanks you so much to all the Facebook guys, all the emailers who chimed in at webradiopatriots.com. Thanks to all who called in on the Ace Ticket Hotline. It was a blast, as usual. And next Tuesday from 4 to 6, join me again. We will preview who the next Patriots opponent will be. Will it be the Jets? Will it be Baltimore? Or will it be the Kansas City Chiefs? Right now, to me, if you go by my predictions, it looks like it's going to be Baltimore. So, that's what I'll probably be talking about next week. We'll be talking about the rematch. But you know what? That's why they play the games. You just never know. All right, have a great and safe rest of your week, everybody. We'll talk to you next Tuesday at 4 right here on Patriots.com.
Pete Shepherd, the Pete Shepherd Show on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.